I won't say I've enjoyed the good spirit this morning, the good saying. It's been absolutely wonderful. And I'm thanking the Lord for it. Y'all don't think I'm trying to imitate Kenneth Hagin this morning. He generally wears a flower in his lapel, but that's just a little happy birthday thing. I'm not Mr. Hagin by no stretch of the imagination. But I appreciate Megan giving me the birthday, little birthday ribbon this morning. Good to be in the Lord's house. I appreciate the good crowd. I want you to give me your listening ear this morning, and let's do our best to worship God in His Word. Good to praise God in singing, but we can worship God in the Word. And so let's do our best to do that this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I moved it up a peg on you. I said I'd preach on this Sunday night. I'm preaching on it this morning. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. For your sake. Now let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Our Father, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege of being in the house of God and how my heart's been cheered and blessed. I thank you for your divine presence. I pray that you'd bless us this day in thy word, that, Lord, you'd enable me by the Spirit of God to preach it with power. I pray for that anointing, that unction that is necessary to preach the word of God. May the Holy Ghost control me, fill me, and use me for the honor and the glory of Jesus today. I pray that you'd save sinners by your grace, that you'd reveal to them their needy condition, and, Lord, that you'd bless the people of God that are saved, that we might rejoice in what Christ has done for us. Meet the needs of every longing soul in this place today. Satisfy every longing spirit in this place today. And bless your people with joy unspeakable. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Bible said in verse number 4 will be our text thought this morning. Where the Bible said there, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I want to preach this morning on a kind of a maybe off the way topic or thought for the message. But it's not going to change the message. I'm going to preach one bit. But I want to preach for a while today on the thought of nailing it down. Just get a real nail in your salvation and nailing it down, knowing that you've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Paul said, "For I know whom I have believed." Amen. And he was very confident that God was able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day. And I'm afraid there may be some that struggle with doubt. And some that maybe lack all the assurance of being saved, the full assurance that they need in knowing the Lord. But Brother Paul said here, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. then I really believe that we can faithfully and truthfully say today that both Paul and those in the church at Thessalonica had their salvation nailed down. They had made their calling and their election very, very sure. And I think if all that we had was the verses here before us this morning, if this is all that we had, I believe that it would be sufficient evidence to prove that very point, that they knew that they had been to Calvary, that they knew they had been saved, that they knew that they had been elected of God. Come on in the house now. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Not maybe thinking it, but knowing it, brethren, your election of God. Not stumbling and blundering in the dark, but knowing your election of God. That's a tremendous thought. I'll get to it in just a minute. But as I read down through chapter number 1, it looked to me like that every verse, nearly every verse, after verse number 4, was attached together, coming to a particular point. For he said in verse number 5, for our gospel, attaching that to the previous verse. And verse number 6, and ye became, attaching that to the same verse. So that ye, attaching that to the same verse. And verse number 8, far from you. And then in verse 9, for they themselves. And then verse number 10, and once again to wait. And I think all of these are attached together, church. Just like a priceless string of pearls are tied together. To bring out one main important point in this chapter. And that is that these believers had been to Calvary and that they knew that they would persevere in the faith until the coming of the Lord. For in verse number 10, he talks about waiting for the Lord Jesus from heaven. In other words, Paul just took a beautiful verse of Scripture and put one great truth under another truth under another truth to bring us to the assurance that we know that we've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and that we're patient, very patient, in just sitting here and waiting on the Lord. Through trials and troubles, we'll wait on the Lord. Through temptations and problems, we'll wait on the Lord. How can you do that, Brother Paul? Because they know their election of God. They know that they've been saved and born again by the good grace of God. Now, in verse number 4, and I tell you, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I'm not even a Calvinist. I am a Baptist. But I don't have any problems with the sovereignty of God. Not one problem. I don't have any problems knowing that God knew the end of things before he ever put the first things in motion. That he wouldn't be God if he didn't. That's right. And I've got enough sense to know that he knew exactly who it was down through the ages that would trust him and would become the eternal children of God. I'll tell you a thought come to me this week on that. I believe with Brother Steve I might have said something to you. You know in the book of the Revelation, he counts out 144,000 Jews that are virgins. And they're going to be saved during the tribulation period. And they're going to be flaming evangelists upon this earth, preaching the everlasting gospel of the Lord. I'll say this, and please don't back me in a corner on it. But if he was able to count 144,000 to the exact precise number, then he has no problem, ladies and gentlemen, knowing them that are his. And the foundation of God stands assured that God knows those that belong to him. And I'll say this, and those that belong to him know it and know him in like manner. Are you listening? Now, he said, knowing they have personal knowledge and assurance of their election, and knew it very well, and so did Paul. This is not a one-way street in verse number four. It's two ways. Paul is not only saying, you know that you've been elected, but Paul is saying that I know that as well as you. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul said, I know it, and you know it. And that's the only way that you can live in victory for God is to know. Not maybe and hope so. But know that you've been redeemed. Now, I think basically there's two reasons that Paul knew. And there's two ways that you can know that you are elected of God. Number one is their reception of the gospel. Paul said, for our gospel came to you. Not in word only, but it came also in power. And it came also in the Holy Ghost. And it came also in much assurance. And I'll tell you, you can know that you've been elected of God if you have received the gospel of the Lord in like manner. Are you listening? And they received it, and because they received it, later in the chapter, they became followers of the Lord. And they became followers of Paul as well. They received the Word of God, the reception, and the responsibility to the gospel. They became followers of God. And then there's a second word there. Knowing brethren. That second word is in this string of priceless pearls of Paul's, that it indicates a union. And not only a union, but a union by birth. Knowing brethren beloved. A union. Paul said, we've got a union. You and I have a mutual a respect and love for one another because we are brethren. And we are brethren by birth. And not only are we brethren by birth, but our brother is also seated in heaven at the right hand of God. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election. Why? Because there's been a birth. That birth came because of the power of the gospel that was preached. Oh, and that word is an endearing word, denoting affection and acceptance. Listen carefully what Paul said in Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Thank God that there is a union with us today. We have a union, not only unity, not only union, but a unity. Now listen carefully. You can take two tomcats, tie their tails together, and throw them over a clothesline. And you have a union, but you won't have unity. They'll fight, I guarantee you on that. But he said, brethren, beloved, there is an affection and a love there. That we are in love with the Lord. The Lord loves us. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If you have love one for another. Not only a union, but a unity. There as well. And then we come to that word. Woo. Knowing, brethren, beloved. What, Brother Paul? Knowing what? Your election. Your election. And I'd be the first to say that the word is it's used in several places in the Bible. And without fail, it means the same thing. It means to be chosen. And it means to be selected. Somebody said, do you mean that God selected me and chose me? Absolutely. In fact, we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. But I'm going to tell you, the crux of the matter is how we were chosen. How we were elected. Did God set humanity out before Him and pick and choose like you would a children would on a ball game? I'll take this one, the devil can have that one. I want this one, the devil can have that one. The world can have this one, I'll choose this one. No! I want to say to you that God did not stand up all humanity and look over that congregation and personally, just personally, divide them between the sheep and the goat. That'll come later on down the road. Never been done yet. But there's coming a time He'll set His sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left hand. Stay with me now. But you've been elected. Selected. That word means the same thing throughout all the Scriptures. Elected of God. Listen carefully, but not by natural means. I want everybody to listen. This will help some of you. Not by natural means, but by supernatural means. We are supernatural creatures, and our election came to us in a supernatural, spiritual type way, not a carnal and a worldly way. Not elected by naturally. Not by natural means. Neither were we elected by the power of man's will. Boy, I've heard men say, preacher, I'll get saved down the road sometime. You may, and you may die and go to hell. I'll tell you when a man will get saved. It's when the Holy Ghost broods over the Word that's been deposited in his heart. And God supernaturally breathes on that man and births that man into the family of God. You're not going to get saved any time you want to. You'll get saved when God calls. And when God shows mercy. And God bestows grace. And God in love sets His affection upon you. And with cords of kindness draws you unto Himself. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw them. Y'all's listening now, ain't you? Not by natural means and not by the power of man's will. Not by the efforts of man's works. Not by works of righteousness. No, sir. Lord said in John 1:13, which are born of God. Come on in the house. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Is this thing off? Drop that tire down there a little bit, that watermelon. Just pull her down a little over there, too, if one of you men would. Jacob, turn that down a little bit. Listen what our Lord says. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I'm telling you, God and only God can save a man. Only God has the power to draw a sinner. I've heard men say, well, I've heard preachers preach that we're stone cold dead and cannot respond to anything. I want to say, that's right. But just like Benny said in Sunday school, like getting that camel through the eye of a needle. Because salvation is of the Lord, God has no problem communicating with those that are dead in trespasses and sin. If Christ on the cross stepped over into death and led death into captivity, surely he can step over into our sin and bring us out. He's done that. Listen carefully. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 14. Paul said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Here's the word. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. But how, Brother Hall, are you reading over there? Through sanctification of the Spirit? And how else? And belief of the truth. You have God's responsibility and man's responsibility. In that one verse. God sanctifies and sets men apart. And men must believe unto the truth. And I'll tell you, if they do not repent and believe the truth, they will die in their sins and go to hell. Amen. That verse goes on to say, He called you by our gospels, what Paul said, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's knowledge of God's elect and grace in a believer can be summed up in this way, in Paul's conscience. In Paul's conscience, God knew, and Paul knew, God helped Paul know, that the Word of God had come to them not in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. So Paul knew by his conscience, and Paul knew, by the way, the Holy Ghost, get this now, don't leave me right here. I'm going slow because you need to hear it slow. Amen. Paul knew their election was sure because of the way the Holy Ghost accompanied the gospel that Paul preaches. And he knew that they were saved by the conduct of those who professed to receive the Christ of the gospel. A two-way street. Now, don't want anybody to leave me right here. Paul knew they were saved because the Holy Ghost accompanied the gospel. I want you to get that. If you don't get this, this is why men fall into hyper-Calvinism. And I'm going slow right here to help you. Paul said, knowing in verse 4, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How did he know that? For our gospel. I'm not doing any harm to the Bible. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How, Brother Paul? Because our gospel come to you not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And here's nailing her down, and in much assurance. Now, I want to ask you this morning. When you got saved in the God, and by the way, somebody said, how do I know I'm elect? Everybody in this room is. If you believe, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't say everybody in here was saved. But I'm saying if you believe this morning that you've got a pastor that is called of God, sent of God, anointed of God, and preaches the Word of God under the power of the Holy Ghost,
right,
then you're going to have to know that you are elect.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God for our gospel. I want to say to you that God calls people by the gospel. God calls men through the gospel. God elects men through the gospel. Now you can doubt that if you want to. But I'm telling you that's the Bible. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God for our gospel. For our gospel. Now, what is the matter? What is the matter of the gospel? I'm slowing and I'm doing it intentionally. What is the matter of the gospel? Is it puppet shows? Donkey rides? Hot dog Sunday? Popcorn day? Get them in? Bible lessons on Monday night, and all we do is sit down and eat popcorn, drink Pepsi's. Gossip sessions, parking lot, yard sales, gospel hymn sings. For our gospel. What is the matter of the gospel? I mean to tell you, what is in the gospel? We don't even have to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, but we know the gospel came to them according to the Scriptures. And I want to read you exactly what Brother Paul said about this Thessalonian church in Thessalonians chapter number 17, verses 2 and 3. The Bible said, and Paul, here he is in Thessalonica, he's come to their church. And here is what he's getting ready to preach to them in the gospel. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that that Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. May I say that they can know their election because in the matter that the gospel was preached to them. It didn't come to them out of a Sunday school quarterly like the Southern Baptist Convention used. No, they sat down. My brother told me the other day, and he's in one of them, that in their Sunday school quarterly they sat down and they've got King James Bible on one side and NIV Bible on the other side. They can read from either one they want and believe either one they want. But Paul said he opened up the Scriptures. Opening and alleging from these Scriptures that Christ must needs suffer and be risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus that I preach to you. that He is Christ. Hey, are you listening to me this morning? I want to say, hey, the matter of the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, is found in the Scriptures. Lord, Brother Hall, tell us stories. Be a skyscraper preacher. Set one story on top of another story. No opening the Scriptures. Opening the Scriptures to them. That is the matter of the Word of God, is opening that. Did not Paul say to Timothy, preach the Word. Not about the Word, preach the Word. Why? Because the Scriptures, the Word, is not a corruptible seed. It is an incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. Now, I want you to get a hold of this, and I don't mean to sound off color. Now, I'm not a Greek student, but I have got a concordance about three or four of them. You can look it up in yours. That word opening, I believe it's opening. I may have these backwards. I don't want to get them backwards. That's right, opening. To open the Scriptures, and please don't get like I'm being off color. But it's in the sense of opening how God, in a miraculous and wonderful way, opens the womb of a woman as she bears not her second or third or fourth child. First child. Oh, and if you can get a hold of that. That birth canal is pure. There's never been mankind come through the places in that birth canal, in that womb that baby comes from. Paul said the Scripture that I opened unto you was as pure as a virgin's womb. But God, in the miracle of the new birth, you must be born again. Brought you through the womb of the priceless Word of God. Something about that? That first baby is born as the first baby, first child, first person to ever touch those intimate places in that woman's womb. Paul said, I've begotten you through the Word of God. And how pure and priceless it is. I remember preaching it to you when I just very kindly and patiently opened and alleged from the Scriptures and brought you through the birth canal of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. That's how you can know you're election assured. Get a hold of this. Not only opening, but alleging from the Scriptures, Brother Paul said. Opening and alleging. Now get this. How many of you people in here ever open a can of food for the table you're cooking, or open a jar of homemade green beans or something you put in the jar? You open that jar up. How many of you ladies have done that? Any of you ladies know? I mean, has everybody just took, what do you call them, microwave dinners now? Not anybody cook old green beans and ham hocks no more? How many of you opened a can of pork and beans? How many of you opened a can of bean weenies? And what do you open that for? The thought there is just like you and I would open food. And not only open that can for food, but we offer that food around us. Paul said, I open the Scriptures like a baby child would open his mother's womb. Yes. And in doing that, he said, I opened up the Word of God and fed you out of the Word of God. Yes. And get this, what he fed them, opening and alleging that Christ must needs suffer, be risen again. Yes. Amen. And that Jesus, this Jesus I'm telling you about, is that Christ. In other words, Paul said, I opened up the Scriptures and I fed you Jesus. My. That's the matter of the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. It's not stories. It's Jesus. It's our Lord, ladies and gentlemen. It is dining and feasting on God Himself. That is the gospel. That's the matter of it. The Scriptures. But not only the Scriptures, but that Christ must needs have suffered. Doesn't stir people anymore. That's how Paul knew their election of God. That's how they knew their election of God. They'd heard the story of Christ being the eternal Word of God. Not only was the eternal Word of God, but He that was from everlasting and will be till everlasting suffered in our place. Now I'm telling you, suffering does nothing for people today. You can talk about the scourging that He took, the thorns that pierced His brow, the blood mingled with the sweat from His face as it run down across His precious chin and down across His body and saturated Him with the blood. How His side was pierced and ruptured, and the blood itself and water together ran out and began to saturate the body of our Lord. Do you understand that He was a sacrifice? And do you understand in those days that that sacrifice they offered was a bloody sacrifice? I know the blood had been taken and offered, but not all that blood in those animals. That meat was still raw and bloody looking, and I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that His visage was beyond recognition. And that doesn't bother us anymore. All we want to hear is somebody preaching on long hair on men, pants on women, and television. And we want to hear that because we don't do that anymore. Now I'm telling you, a preacher can get up and tell you about the suffering Son of God. That's the matter of the gospel. He suffered for our sins. Up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn, walk Christ our Savior weary and worn. I want to ask you something. Have I preached to you the gospel? Have I told you the old story of Jesus and His love? Have I used the Bible? Have I just told stories? Or have I used the Word of God for you? And if I have opened the Scriptures and preached to you the sufferings of the Son of God, then you ought to know your election of God. The Word of God has come forth to you. Do you think God would hang the precious deliverance of your soul, the salvation, we might say the Lord Jesus, the cross, whatever you want to say, out over the congregation of this people and then tantalize you as I've seen people do with the dog. Come on, boy, bark. Bark and I'll give it to you. Bark and I'll give you a piece of this meat. Jesus don't do that. He does not hang the word out over us and give it to some and tantalize others. You know your election of God because the preacher for our gospel. The matter of the gospel. The Scripture and the matter of the gospel. Christ suffering in the matter of gospel was the Son of God Himself. Not another person but the Son of God. I've got to try to hurry. Then the manner, not only the matter of the gospel, but the manner of the message, the matter of the gospel, and the matter of the message, and the matter of the gospel, in word, for our word, but not in word only. Don't nobody leave me. I know you warm out. If you have to, stand up. But I've got to run slow on what I'm preaching. The manner of the message, in word, but not in word only. Colossians 1:5, the Bible said, for the hope which is laid up for us and for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth, of what of the gospel. That word, now listen, it came to you in power. Listen carefully, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. May I say to you that it was preached faithfully. Paul was a faithful preacher. It came in word, but not only in word, it came in power. Now get this. A man can stand up and preach the word. Come on in the house now. And it still not make your calling and your election sure if all you have is the word. Because the word is like the letter. The letter killeth, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Spirit that giveth life. How many people are sitting in old dead Orthodox churches today where the man may stand up and preach from the King James Bible and he is as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning and so is the people? Oh, they got the word, but the letter has killed them. It's the Spirit that gives them life. Paul preached that word faithfully to them. Listen carefully. It was preached faithfully. It came not in word only, but in power. Unless the Spirit of God accompany the Word of God to render it effectual by His power, it will be to you as a dead letter. Now, won't I say something? Has my preaching been dead? Have I preached the gospel, number one, and has the gospel come to you with some life in it? Or in dead letter, dead orthodoxy. Stop your worrying and threatening and nail it down today that I preached the gospel in power. The Holy Ghost has been present. And He very wonderfully has effectually worked in your heart to bring you to Christ. And I'm not trying to give any reassurance to anybody. I'm just simply telling you how you can know your calling and election and make it sure. Paul preached it to them faithfully. Paul also preached it to them not faithfully. He preached it faithfully because he preached it in power. Preached it in power. Are you listening? He preached it firmly, in power. For our gospel came to you, not in word only, but in power. So he preached it firmly to them with a little power on it. Now I'm talking about with great unction. Have I ever had unction on me? Have I had the power of God on me? Who I preach to you under the unction, eyes, and power of God. I'm not an ear-tickling, back-scratching, egg-sucking Southern Baptist. Now, I don't guess all Southern Baptists are egg-suckers. A lot of them are. There's a whole lot of egg-sucking independent Baptists, too. Probably more independents than there are Southern. Power. Preached it in power. Then he preached the Word of God firmly. Here's where I've been wanting to get to. With unction. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Listen carefully. Those people, hey, had received the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And Paul said, our preaching here came not only in word, but in power. And in the Holy Ghost. Not only faithfully and firmly, but Paul said, I preached it to you fervently. I've had some fire in what I'm saying. Amen. He preached it. Preached it with the eternal Spirit of God upon him. And I won't say this. Are you listening? The Word is good, but it takes the Word and the Holy Ghost. When that Ethiopian eunuch was trucking down across the Gaza desert in that chariot, had it in four-wheel drive because he's in the sand, sinking sand at that. The Lord told Philip, said, draw yourself in that chariot. There was that old Ethiopian. He had the Word.
Yes.
He was reading from Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 53. Oh, Brother Philip said, hey, that understandest what thou readest. He said, how can I let some man show me? An Ethiopian eunuch put on the brakes, shut her down, and welcomed him on board. And Peter and Philip began at the same place. Preach to him Jesus. Out of the Scripture. Are you listening to me? Son, he put the Holy Ghost. He put the Holy Spirit of God. That's why I am a hobby horse rider on having the presence of God in this place. It's necessary. And if the Word has came to you in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance from that man that preached to you, then you know that the Spirit of power was drawing you. The Spirit of revelation. He's the eye salve to remove the blindness from the eyes. As the Spirit of truth, He strikes the sinner in conviction and causes him to fear God because of his sin. Then the Bible said the Word of God came to them in much assurance. That is, that Paul preached it fully. He preached it faithfully. He preached it firmly. He preached it fervently. And he preached it fully. All of it. A whole counsel of God. And not only did he preach the Word, but it had the anointing power of God upon it. And he preached it all to them. You know, some of the best things in life is like this. My wife will pull up to go to a Chinese restaurant. She'll say, could I have some sweet and sour sauce with that, please? Could I have some sweet and tangy dressing for my salad today, please? Get hold of what I'm getting ready to tell you now. And I say this in all love and respect to the Word of God to a lost man. I'm saying this to a lost man. That Word is bitter in the mouth. But it's in the Revelation. It is bitter in that mouth. That Word, but thank God, Paul said, it didn't come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance. In other words, what I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, it was like the lamb in the Passover down in Egypt. It had both herbs and spices. Had a little sweet and sour. That Word was bitter in the mouth to John in the Revelation, but it was sweet in his belly. It's like the waters of Meribah, ladies and gentlemen. That water, which represents the Word of God, was bitter in Meribah. But when Moses, woo, glory to God, thrown in that cross in that water, it made the water sweet to their taste. I'm telling you, it's bitter and it's sweet, the Word and the Holy Ghost. You put them both together. And it comes out fully and much assurance.
Yes.
And I say this to you this morning, in Egypt they ate the whole lamb, hurt to nuts and all.
Amen.
Do you need me to define the word pertinence for you, I will. Entrails. Self-made chitlins. But he said, eat all of it, leave none of it until the morning.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a little sweet and sour. Paul said, I gave you the sweet and I gave you the sour.
Yes.
Can somebody say amen? If I give you the sweet and the sour?
Yes.
Somebody said, Brother Harvey, don't be so sour. Give us a little more sweet than you do the sour. I tell you, there's just the Word and the Holy Ghost, and it's half and half.
Amen.
Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How can you know you're elected? Because the gospel came to all of you. In power and in the Holy Ghost and in not the church. Now get this, and Paul said, so, do you know what manner of men we were among you? Paul said in the book of Romans, been one of my most favorite verses down through the years. I don't know as I've ever mentioned it to you. He said in Romans 15, 18, 19, for I will not dare speak, get a hold of this, of any of the things which Christ hath not wrought in me. I'm so sick, stand still now. I'm so sick of hearing preachers, young and old, stand and preach about things that they have no experience in. They'll botch it. Miss Hall came to me the other night and said, I'm glad it's you on election and not me, sweetheart. And I'm telling you, if Ben are not careful, they'll botch it. And they will because they have not experienced what they're preaching about. Paul said, I would not dare preach nothing among you except what God has let me experience in my life or what I have wrought in my life. And get the rest of it. What He's wrought in me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed.
Amen.
Through mighty signs and wonders. By the power of the Spirit of God. Get this now.
Amen.
So that from Jerusalem and round about Illyria, I have fully preached the gospel.
Amen.
I wouldn't dare draw back one bit from our preaching. Not here. Look here. Look what God's done for us. We preach out over a radio station. And the same gospel we hear here goes out there. You think the people that listen to us are elect? I do. Because God's allowed them to hear the gospel. And I don't believe all that crowd's going to get saved. But they're elect because of the gospel they hear and receive. Hear and receive it and walk in it. We've got the internet. We go around the world. And people that hear that hear the gospel. And if they hear the gospel, they're elect. Now, I want you to hear it. Somebody said, all of them get saved? Check your scriptures. All of them did not get saved. It's not personal to them. But it is to you and I because we heard it and believed. And that made us elect.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, why don't everybody run for public office? Why ain't everybody in a public office? I'll tell you what. They didn't get elected.
Amen.
But they had the same opportunity that everybody else has got. I'm running for that councilman seat.
And everybody else could have filed and run, but they did not get in the race. And therefore, they cannot be in the election. Now, we're in the election, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you are nailing it down right somewhere. No, no, no. Listen carefully. That word fully and full assurance in three other places in the Bible. Colossians 2:2, he said we have a full understanding. Hebrews 6:11, we have a full hope, full assurance of hope. In Hebrews 10:22, we have a full assurance of faith. How can you have that? For our gospel. Somebody said, you've hammered that a lot. I want to hammer it into your mind.
Amen.
For our gospel came to you, not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. Listen carefully. I want to read this to you. Doubt will paralyze you.
Amen.
I'm satisfied we've got churches filled up with paralyzed Christians.
Amen.
Because of their doubt and fears.
Right. Amen.
You cannot serve God properly with fear. What was it that Gideon told him, soldiers, so you fellas that fear hit the road? And many of them went back. Somebody said, I'm afraid I'll die. That is the purpose.
Amen.
For you to die that you might live.
Amen.
Die to self now. Amen. And die to the world now. And die to sin now.
Amen.
Amen. Then Brother Paul said this. God cannot work, Brother Paul is heavy. God cannot work through a man in whose soul there is misgiving about the truth of the gospel. I see the matter of the message. I see the get her out here in a minute. Matter of the manner of the message and the matter of the message, but the man. Who brought the message? Paul said, for you know what manner of men we were among you. Not for me, but for your sake.
Yeah.
I was visiting a little bit yesterday. I told a gentleman I was talking to, I said, I'm going to tell you this also. I said, I'm running for city councilman. And whatever help that you can possibly do for me, I said, I'd really appreciate it. And that man told me, he said, I've given up any hope of ever doing anything to change things around here. And church, I'm afraid that's where our doubts and our fears have led us. Worried all the time about what is going on rather than leaving it to Christ and serving Him. What manner of men, not when I was young, had brought the message. What Paul said, or what do you think about your pastor? Some of you think he's too old and over the hill? He's slowing down? You will too. Bless your little heart.
Yeah.
We need a young man. Got some fire. Young men's all right. But fire without experience is about as dead as a word without the fire. I like to listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about. That's lived it. Our hope, church, is sliding away, and our joy right along with it. And it could very well be because we're just going through the motions, and more or less we're just doubting whether we're really in or whether we're not in. Knowing
brethren beloved, your election of God. For, here's how you can know it, because, for our gospel came to you, not in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. For you know what manner of men we were, what entering in we had to do for your sake. Your sake. Not my sake, your sake. For the people. And I know I'm just tinkering around now. Miss Sandy, I've had preachers come here and preach meetings for us. I've had some of them walk up to me and say, how's the church treating you money-wise? They doing all right? Taking care of you all right? And I say, well, is the finance report in there somewhere? I'm not going to tell people what I made. What do you pay me? But I'm going to tell you something. If I'm here because of what I made, I am about as sorry a sucker that ever was. While I was talking to that man, here's what he said. He said, how much does that councilman seat, how much does that pay you a year? I said, really, sir, I don't know. I've never looked, never checked. I have no earthly idea what it pays. He said, well, probably so much a month. How much does it pay a month? I said, sir, I have no idea. I've never looked. I have no earthly idea. And here's what I'm doing. I said, I'm not trying to get there for that money. I'm trying to get there for the people. Paul said, I entered into you for your sake, not mine, your sake. That I might care. I was already saved when I come here, folks. Some of you have been saved since I've been here. I didn't come here for me. I came here for you, for your sake, to bring you the gospel. And bring it to you in power. And I'm going to be honest with you. That's why I get so frustrated and irritated and upset when we come in here on some services and they just ain't done hanging around. But I just can't stand that. It just hurts me. Makes me want to puke up everything in my guts. Man, God ain't around. Do you know it this morning? Got that calling and election? Made it sure? Got her nail dropped down. Know you've been to Calvary. Know you've met Jesus. Scripture's still alive to you. Scripture still speaks to your heart.
Yep.
Jesus still convicting you of sins in your life and confessing them when you get them out.
Yep.
Nail her down. You know, we need to put a nail in it today and nail it down. Let's stand together. I've done my best this morning to rightly divide the Word of God. Our Father, I'm thankful this morning for the privilege we've had to be in the house of God. For your word, it's ever settled in heaven. Thank you for the Holy Spirit you've given. And I pray this morning that the Spirit of God take thy word that's been sown, and Lord, that you would work in hearts of people. Father, for their sake, and not only their sake only, but because you died for them, and me, well, and others. And you've allowed us to sit under the preaching of the gospel in power and the Holy Ghost, much assurance. That should be sufficient to know that our election is a sure thing from God. I've tried to rightly divide the truth. I've tried to follow the Spirit of God this morning. I pray that you'll bless thy people today. Help our meetings to start on Tuesday night. Marathon on Tuesday morning. Give us all that we need, power in the presence of Jesus. We'll thank you for it in the Son of God's name, even our Lord Jesus. Amen. For with you. Is that Brother George? 304 this morning. 304. Knowing, brethren, we love your election. I wouldn't doubt and tremble any longer. I'd just get it nailed right down. I'd get it nailed right down today. You can know it. God said, if you've received the gospel in this manner, with this matter, and with that man, if he's preached it faithfully and firmly, fervently, you can know it. 304, let's sign.